91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. Today we learn of a recovery through work program for people who live with illnesses such as schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and major depression. Good afternoon, Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. We speak of the Key Clubhouse of South Florida. In Miami-Dade County, 15% of residents report suffering from mental disorders. Count family members and others, and it adds up to more than 2 million people affected by mental health issues. Key Clubhouse has helped 118 members enter the workforce during the last year. Some receive on-the-job training, some find jobs. Key Clubhouse serves about 90 adults through psychiatric referrals. We'll learn more in minutes after NPR and regional news.
Welcome back to today's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman with you. Joseph Cooper returns tomorrow. So this hour, we discuss a unique program designed to use a recovery from work method to help people living with mental illness reintegrate into society. The Key Clubhouse of South Florida is an open-door hub for job training and employment for adults with schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, major depression. We'll find all about the Key Clubhouse of South Florida from several people who are involved with it. First, we have its executive director, Deborah Webb, on hand. Welcome to you, Deborah.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Thanks so much for being with us. Also, with an on hands on view, its Key Clubhouse program manager, Penelope Martinez. Welcome to you, Penelope.
Thank you, Bonnie.
And also in the studios is a Key Clubhouse member and also a board member who's received help from the Key Clubhouse, Alexander Lassa. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Bonnie.
And we'll be speaking to you just in the next segment of the program. But I want to start with you, Deborah, first for you to tell us about the Key Clubhouse, its history, and its mission, just so we get a thumbnail of what it is.
Okay. The Key Clubhouse of South Florida is a not-for-profit whose mission is to afford people living with a mental illness the opportunity to recover meaningful and productive lives through work and socialization, getting back to school, going back, getting an education, a higher education, and living a good quality of life through wellness programs to get them back into the community so they can be self-sufficient and back on track.
So when you say it's a mission, it is to afford people whose lives have been disrupted
right.
by mental illness, are you referring to just isolated occurrences of mental illness, or are there also many people with chronic mental illness and recurring mental illness?
Typically, the people that we serve, which we call members, not consumers or clients or patients, they're members because we're a non-medical model, are living with severe mental illness.
So what are the most common illnesses that you see, the ones I mentioned?
Yes, schizophrenia is one, depression that is, you know, recurring, a severe anxiety, post-traumatic stress syndrome, like that.
Now, are these sometimes brought on by trauma or drug abuse? Are those some of the cases that perhaps would be referred to you?
Well, certainly some of the illnesses can be triggered by a trauma. Mm-hmm. And some of people that do have a mental illness have a co-occurring disorder, as we call it, where there's mental illness and drug abuse. And so some people live with both. So yes, the answer is yes.
Okay. And how are you funded?
Well, we're funded, 40% of our budget is through the state, through South Florida Behavioral Health Network, which is funding through the Department of Children and Families. We have special events. That's about 25% of our budget. We have some monies from foundations. We've been funded through the Peacock Foundation, Health Foundation, Able Trust Grant, and some corporations in the area.
So you also have private donations?
Oh, yes, and private donations. Some wonderful people that live in the Miami-Dade area that have mental illness as part of their mission in life and charity that they'd like to give to.
And is membership free, or are there dues?
There are no dues. Membership is free. It's one of the benefits of our program. So we want to offer anybody that has a mental illness an opportunity to get back their lives.
How do we find out about you? I hadn't heard of you. So how do people know about you? And do you find them or do they find you?
They find us through referrals. We have a strong relationship with the jail diversion program under Judge Leifman's programming. We have psychiatrists, psychologists, licensed therapists that do make referrals. We have many referrals from different mental health organizations in the area as well.
Penelope, let's bring you into this. Let's talk about the program. Just if you could give me, I want to talk about membership also. How does one qualify for membership?
The only thing that the person needs to have is a mental illness, and it needs to be 18 years or above.
And is membership voluntary?
Yes.
Completely. Always. Okay.
Always.
So tell me about a day in the life. Can you tell me a typical day? Like, you don't have housing. You don't offer housing.
No, we don't have a housing program, but we do assist our members to apply for housing services. Like now we are applying members to apply for housing, Section 8 in Hialeah. Uh-huh. Next month, we're going to help them to apply on Section 8 for Homestead. I mean, every time a city opens a lottery or waiting list or applications or affordable housing, anything that it opens in the community, any service, we do help our members. We sit with them. We help them through the application, and we print the information for them. We follow through.
So do you tailor, when I ask what a typical day is, mm-hmm. I arrive there in the morning, and now would a program be tailored for me depending on the severity of my illness?
No.
Okay.
No, everybody's equal.
Okay.
It doesn't... Everybody in the program is equal. There's no difference between a person with a low or high level of functioning. Everybody's treated the same. We open our doors at 8:30 in the morning, and members start coming in. Actually, when we get there in the morning, they're already waiting for us outside. Members walk in, they sign in, and they have breakfast. And
you provide breakfast.
We provide breakfast at a very tiny cost. And after that, we do a general clubhouse meeting where we announce everything that is happening in the community, from announcements to the standard of the day, because we follow the 37 standards, which are our guidelines for clubhouse.
Okay, we'll get so the 37 standards from the Clubhouse International. Okay, which you're a model of.
Yes.
Okay.
We also announce everything related to employment, how many members started to work, what are the positions that we have available for the ones that are wants to work. We also announce our employment dinner. We announce our member birth dates, the socials that we're having, all the announcements, everything that from resources, medical, housing, we announce everything in that meeting. It takes like half an hour.
Okay.
After that, our members and staff move themselves to our two units. We have two units. One is the culinary unit and wellness, and the other one is business unit, communications, and employment. And we go through a work audit day, because that's what the clubhouse is about, is recovery through work. So our members volunteer to run that meeting, and members read on a whiteboard the different tasks for the day in the different units, and the other members volunteer what they want to do. They can go from employment calls, employment research, they can go to phone reception, petty cash, finances, communications, newscast, newsletter. It's a whole range of different tasks, because remember, Bonnie, the members run the program with us.
So I did read that. I'd like to find that sentence where it says you're all treated as equals, and I wanted you to explain that.
Yes, it's an egalitarian model. where members and staff work side by side. There's no distinction. I'm a staff. I'm above you. There's no difference between a member and a staff in the clubhouse model. Actually, when you walk in there, you can tell who is the staff and who is the member, because everybody works equally.
And so you follow all the same guidelines?
Yes.
Is that it?
Yes. Members and staff together.
Members and staff together. Mm-hmm. I'll ask both of you this. Since time immemorial, there's always been a stigma and shame associated with mental illness. How do you address that aspect, both within the organization and with respect to employment? Deborah?
With respect to employment, the stigma is addressed by making presentations to the business community and explaining to them and educating them about mental illness, because there's a lot of misconceptions. So as a
such as
people with mental illnesses cannot work. People with a mental illness are not stable. They might be violent. There's a lot of fear attached mm-hmm. to the illness, because you really can't see it, and then you hear these awful stories. So we go in and we use our presentation skills and what the clubhouse model is worldwide, and try to educate the business community. We ask them to partner with us through a program called Transitional Employment, where we place one of our members in a job and give them firsthand knowledge to see somebody with a mental illness working. And typically, I will tell you that the employer, and this is, you know, something that I have seen over the years of working in the clubhouse, will say, wow, this is my best employee, because they have something to prove.
Right.
So that we really bust up the stigma through our employment program and putting people back to work and letting people see how a person with a mental illness can work. Our transitional employment is extremely unique. It is the only one of its kind. We actually partner with an employer, put a member in the job. We learn the job. The staff learns the job. And so we pick the member and we train them on the job, because the relationship is intact. If they are out for whatever reason due to their illness, the staff works for the employer for free.
Wow. And I was going to ask about the stigma also within the organization. How do you try and alleviate that, or ease that, or do you feel it's gotten better? How do you make a difference?
We make a difference because we really don't address the illness. We're very strength-based. So while we have 106 members right now, we don't really address their illness. We look at, what do you want to do? What is your purpose? How do you want to contribute to the clubhouse? How do you want your life to be different as a result of being a member of a key clubhouse in South Florida? And then we look at their strengths, and we allow them to do whatever they'd like to do within the realm of the clubhouse. And you start to see people thrive, because they're really supported, and we look at them as a person. It's a holistic approach, and so really address their needs, their dreams, and their goals in life, and really focus on that.
Do you have medical personnel on staff?
We do not. We're not a medical model. We're very much a psychiatric vocational rehab program, mm-hmm. and which includes socials and fun on the weekends. So we're not. But you do have to have the medical component in your life. It's just that this part of their life has been missing, because there's only two of us in the city of Miami, or in Miami-Dade County.
Only two clubhouses?
Yeah, yeah. The other clubhouse is Club Fellowship. That's part of the Fellowship House.
Okay, we're going to talk more about Clubhouse International and the other chapters of it. We're speaking about the Key Clubhouse of South Florida with Deborah Webb, their executive director, Penelope Martinez, their program manager, and Alexander Lasso will come on board, so to speak, when we return from a short break. Stay with us. And welcome back to today's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman with you. We're speaking about the Key Clubhouse of South Florida. They're a nonprofit organization that helps individuals with mental illness reintegrate into the community through meaningful work, socialization, and employment with local businesses. If you want to join in the conversation, our number is 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-9576, or you can also email radio@wlrn.org. And back with us, Deborah Webb, the executive director of the Key Clubhouse, Penelope Martinez is the program manager. And also joining us now, Alexander Lassa. He is a member, and he's also a board member. So, Alexander, let's talk to you a little about, you know, how this actually works. How did you find the Key Clubhouse?
Well, I've been dealing with mental health issues for a long time. And I really didn't find too many resources in South Florida. Fast forward to 2015. My sister found the Key Clubhouse online. I guess she did a diligent search and found it. And she prompted me and my mom to have me look into it.
Okay.
To arrange a tour with the clubhouse and find out about it.
So that was 2015.
And 15,
just a couple of years ago. And so you went, you took the tour, and what were your impressions?
First of all, it's a beautiful place. There is artwork everywhere done from members who've participated at the clubhouse. Very artistic people, which sometimes people who have mental health issues are artistic and very creative. It's a very beautiful place. And the tour demonstrated the different departments, the different units, as Penelope put it, communications, culinary, employment. And I got a very good impression of the clubhouse when I first went.
And then what did you do? You just said, I want to be a member? How did it work?
You had to go through an orientation. I decided I did want to participate because mm-hmm. I believe in that model. I believe in recovery through work. And, you know, people don't want to sit at home and just stare at a TV all day. They want to be productive members of society. They want to aspire to better things, even if they have mental health issues. And some of them are limited by their health, by their mental health, mm-hmm. but they want to strive for more. And people get excited about wanting to work. I know I did, and I know that in our meetings that we have once a month, our employment dinners and our employment meetings, people are looking forward to getting that job at Panera Bread, to getting that job at TJ Maxx, to make a little money, to do some things that they want to do.
Now, you mentioned your sister found this for you. Were you living independently before before finding the Key Clubhouse?
Yes, I was. I was living in a room, basically by myself. Because of my mental illness, I isolated myself, and I isolated myself from my own family, from my mother, from my sister, from my brother. My relationships were strained, and I did isolate myself, and I ruined some of those relationships. Thank God, not forever.
Right.
And with this recovery process and through the socialization that I've had at the Key Clubhouse, I've rebuilt not only my work life, but also my relationships with family, with friends.
And why would you say you isolated yourself? And you're specifically saying you did it. It wasn't as though you were isolated by your family. You actually say that you were the one who initiated that.
I did. I didn't think they cared. I didn't think people cared. And they do. But you push them away because you think that they don't. And I found myself doing that for a while. With my mom, with my sister, my brother, even my very good friends. And once I started really getting into my own recovery and my own treatment and taking care of myself, my mind, my body, my spirit, I started to see that that wasn't the case. People do care. And I found my way back into their lives. They let me back into their lives, thank God. And I think a lot of people care. Deborah cares. Penelope cares. And I think there are a lot of people that do.
And what is the link between the Key Clubhouse and your renewed good health? How did that happen? Is it through the work? Is it through the socialization? Is it through all aspects of it?
The work, the socialization, the sense of family, the sense of I don't have to hide this and it's okay. People talk about their issues. I think everybody's work environment should be like that, actually. I think it would be a beautiful thing if people could get along that way.
Well, that's true.
I think it would.
And you have a job now?
I do.
And how long have you been?
I've been there for a year and 3 months.
That's great. And so your involvement is that you're still a member, but you're also on the board?
I am. I was very grateful and honored that Deborah asked me to be on the board. I've never had that opportunity, and I thought it would be awesome if I could do this.
And what is that? What does that consist of?
It consists of monthly meetings where we discuss future plans for the Key Clubhouse, which I think we have a future definitely in this town. We are like the worst in the country when it comes to mental health. We are 49th, I think, in one of the surveys we heard about.
You mean out of 50?
Out of 50 states.
Uh-huh.
Or 51, I can't remember.
50, I think last time, not counting Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico, right. Okay. So we're the worst. We got two clubhouses, and there are 350 clubhouses all over the world, a lot of them in the Northeast. I think we even have some in India. We have some in Italy, France, Australia even. We have a map in the clubhouse with all the pins indicating where all the clubhouses are.
How have politics and the closures of institutions and hospitals that we've seen in recent years affected those living with mental illness, Deborah?
Well, closures of hospitals, institutions, there is more a trend in having people live with mental illness be part of the community and be part more of a community-based program, which is very, very important.
Right.
However, funding is very important as well. So one of the challenges, certainly what Alex just brought up, which is absolutely accurate, that Florida, the state of Florida, is on the bottom of the barrel there for funding for mental illness. So when you do start to close certain institutions or, you know, close certain programs, you have to have other preventative programs in the community, like a clubhouse, ready for people to be. Now, a clubhouse, especially Key Clubhouse and other clubhouses worldwide, are there every day. So there's a place for people with mental illness to go to get reintegrated back in the community. You need your doctor. You need your medications. You need whatever therapy you need to stay stable, but that doesn't happen on a daily basis. So that's why a clubhouse is so very, very important, because it's a place for people to come to belong, to be accepted, and to start becoming productive again.
How did you get started, and when did you get started? 2008?
2008, a group of family members, basically women that were mothers of children that have a mental illness who grew up to be adults, were looking for some support and saw that there was a lack of services in the area, got together and formed a not-for-profit. And in 2010, I believe it was July, they opened up the Key Clubhouse of South Florida. I joined in as the executive director, June 2015.
Okay, and why did you want to be a part of it?
Well, I was the founding CEO of a clubhouse in Fort Myers called Hope Clubhouse of South Florida, and I helped open that place. And I moved back home to Miami in 2015 and was lucky enough to be able to step into another clubhouse because it is my passion.
So how many of these clubhouses are there, let's say, in the four-county area going from Palm Beach down to the Keys? Do you know?
There's two on the East Coast, like I said. Oh, I'm sorry. There's Footprints in Pompano Beach, there's the Key Clubhouse, and then there's Club Fellowship. And then on the West Coast, there's Hope Clubhouse and in Vincent House up in Pinellas Park.
And they're all patterned after, and you're what did it mean to become accredited by Clubhouse International?
Accreditation means you're following the model for the clubhouse, which is out of New York, the first one, Fountain House. And they come down, we do a self-study, we analyze ourselves, we fill out the application, we send it up to New York. And then there's a faculty from the Clubhouse International that comes down and spends a week with you and looks at your programming. It's kind of like being audited, if you will.
Okay.
They look at if you've got a fidelity to the model, if you've got people working in transitional and supported, if you've got an education component.
What is that supported? I know that you explained what the transitional employment is. What's the supported?
Supported is where we support the member. The member actually owns the job. We're in transitional. It's 6 to 9 months, so we rotate members in and out of those positions. Supported employment is where we help the member identify an employer. We help them. We get them to the interview, and we support them if there's any trouble or any problems on the job. We offer, like, job coaching.
I see.
Where transitional is much more hands-on from the clubhouse, because we actually work very closely with that employer for those positions.
Is there any other organization in South Florida, to your knowledge, that works with those with mental illness and tries to find them employment?
Oh, yeah, there are some organizations that work with people with mental illness and try to find them supported employment. We are, however, the only organization that does transitional employment.
Okay.
And works more in a other areas besides employment. We do education, wellness, and social programs.
We're talking about the Key Clubhouse of South Florida with their executive director, Deborah Webb, their program manager, Penelope Martinez, and Alexander Lassa is a member and a board member. Again, our number is 1-800-743-9576. Perhaps you know someone who is in the program, or perhaps you would like to ask a question about the program for you or a loved one. 1-800-743-9576. Our email is radio@wlrn.org. We'll take a short break and we'll be right back. And welcome back to today's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman, we're visiting with Deborah Webb, Penelope Martinez, and Alexander Lassa, all from the Key Clubhouse of South Florida. Before I forget to mention it, and by the way, if you're on the phone, if the phones are very busy, so we encourage you just to stay there, and Richard will get to your call. And then I will try to get to your call. Okay. We want to say that the second annual benefit luncheon for the Key Clubhouse of South Florida is April 30th, which is around the corner. It's 11:30 a.m. at the Pullman Miami Airport Hotel, 5800 Blue Lagoon Drive, and it's called A Family Journey Facing Mental Illness Together. Tell us more about that, Deborah, or Penelope, whichever one of you wants to tell us.
Yes. We have a keynote speaker. Her name is Delaney Rustin, MD. She's a filmmaker, a Stanford trained. She's a physician and a master of two. She actually have a family member. Her mother has schizophrenia. We also have a family panel of several people who are going to be also there asking questions, and we have a complete agenda of how the event is going to be.
And it's a fundraiser.
Yes, it is.
And it's on the 30th. What day of the week is that?
That's actually a Sunday.
Okay.
And it's this coming Sunday. Actually, Alex Lasso's sister is a family member, and she's going to be on there, as well as J.C. Garrido, who is a family member.
On the panel.
On the panel. Mm-hmm. Dottie Pacheris, who is an author of the book Mind on the Run. And the fourth person is Issa Gonzalez, who is also a family member of mine.
You know, that's such an important aspect, I would think, of mental illness. Alexander, the family, and how it's affected. Just talk about that from your own experience.
Bonnie, my dad had mental illness, and it affected us more so in my own story. My mother and father divorced when I was very young, about five. They didn't even know what to call it back then.
Right.
Back then, they didn't even want to discuss cancer in public. Mm-hmm. It was a bad word. She was divorced with three children without a high school education, and she had to make it work. She had to survive. Social Security wouldn't even admit that it was an illness to help out. So we struggled. She struggled for many, many years, for a long time. And I think all three of us were affected by that.
Do you feel like the stigma that's attached to mental illness has abated in your own lifetime?
It's even hard for me to talk about it.
Is it?
It is. I was in denial for many years. I didn't want to admit it to myself. I still struggle with admitting it to myself. It's like people don't want to admit that they have a drinking problem.
Right.
People don't want to admit that there's something wrong with their brain. It's who you are. Your brain is who you are. And to admit that is very, very hard. And it took me a long, long time to say, okay, I have to face this. And now that I have, it's the first time in my life where I feel like I'm managing it and it's not managing me.
Or controlling you.
Yeah.
What would you say to somebody who's listening, who's struggling the way you were?
You have to take control if you want to keep moving forward. Because if not, you will be left behind. And you may end up homeless. Because I know that's been one of my fears. And that's not a place where I'd want to be.
Is it now still a fear?
It is. Even though I have my family, you just don't know what the future holds for you. And if you tend to analyze things and overthink things and your brain is constantly worried about the future and the anxiety and depression and all, you worry about all these things. And if you're worried about that, that could be a preoccupation.
Well, it seems like it could exacerbate whatever illness you have.
Yes.
Would you say that, did your family try to get you into treatment prior to when your sister found out about, and what did you do? You just said, I don't have a problem, or you just resisted?
I did, and I was diagnosed. At that time, I was facing disability. The doctor said, you should disable him. But my mom said, my son is too young for this. My mom said, he's too young. And she made a tough call. She didn't want to see her son labeled that at such a young age.
Mm-hmm. How old were you?
I must have been around 22. Mm-hmm. So she made that call, and I fought to continue with my financial obligations, going from job to job, because one of the things we acknowledge is that having a mental illness, the first thing that goes is your work and showing up to work. Some days you can go to work, and some days you can't go to work. And the first thing the employer looks at is your attendance and your punctuality. And if that suffers, you lose a job. You're going from job to job. So I've done everything there is to do to try to keep up with my commitments. But only now that I've sought the treatment, socialization, medication, my physicians, psychiatrists, psychologists, I've been able to, work for a year and be relatively stable.
That's very heartening, I'm sure, for those who are listening who maybe are suffering the same way. In fact, Christine in Miami wants to talk about getting someone into treatment. Welcome, Christine. You're on Topical Currents.
Hi. Yes, I'm calling from Miami, and I was calling because my father, 2 years ago, committed suicide. He had Parkinson's with dementia, and he didn't really realize that he had a problem, and I was wondering if you'd give any advice on how to get people to go in for treatment in that type of difficult circumstance.
Deborah or Penelope? And we're sorry.
Yeah, I think when you have a family member that has been diagnosed with a mental illness, it's our job as a family, actually, to reach out in the community and find help. If we have close ones who are suffering from any mental illness or any learning disability, we definitely need to support them, and we need to reach out to the programs like, for example, the Key Clubhouse that offers reintegration into the community. I'm sorry to hear about your father. And all I can recommend is that if you have a family member who is diagnosed with a mental illness and you want to help them, you can actually call the Key Clubhouse and we'll offer a tour to you and your loved one. And you'll see what we do, and actually your family member can see it in, you know, with his own eyes, and he can decide if he wants to join, you know, because there's hope. We have a total of 440 members, and each one of them came to the program with the hope of reintegrating back into the community.
Do they range in age from all ages?
Yes.
Yes.
Actually, they
okay.
do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Christine, we're very sorry for your loss.
Thank you. And thank you for your help.
Thank you. And we're going to talk to Sarah in Tamarack. Sarah, welcome. You're on Topical Currents.
Hi. Yes. Thank you for taking my call. I had surgery, well, I should say brain surgery, a little over almost 2 years ago, and now I they took up my right hippocampus and for the seizures, and I don't have the seizures anymore. However, I do deal with TBI, and I still tend to forget things. Does your program, because I'm on my father's, I'm his handicap dependent, because I am his handicap dependent, would I still qualify to participate in your program, you know, for that reason? I know that certain programs don't allow that. If you're like a handicap dependent, they don't allow you to participate or something like that. I don't know.
Okay.
The population that we serve is the population that have a mental illness. If you, due to your
due to
what happened to you, yes, definitely. If you call our program, you come for a tour, we give you a referral form that it needs to be taken to your doctor, to your psychiatrist or a psychologist, and that the professional will fill out your diagnosis. And, yeah, if you have a mental illness, definitely you'll be more than welcome. The doors are open for you.
Thank you.
Okay, Sarah, we wish you the best. Thank you. Thank you. And we're going to talk to Marilyn in Hollywood. Welcome, Marilyn.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Lieberman, and I'm one of those founding board members of the Key Clubhouse that our representatives are so eloquently representing right now. I just wanted to make a couple of points, because when our group started the Key Clubhouse, and we were six parents and a consumer of mental health services, we did it because there was not services in the community. So all we are community members, just like those of you that are out there listening now. And I'm going to bet that there's quite a few of you that have adult children with mental illnesses that need services, that not only want to bring your loved one to the clubhouse to be a member, but might also be able to help us in expanding the clubhouse program. And so we're not only talking to potential members, but also to those of you in the community that can help us with funding, that are employers that can help us with getting jobs. And all you have to do is call the clubhouse if you're one of those people. And I know you're out there. I also wanted to mention one other thing. There was a mention before about people going into community mental health services. The problem is, and Alex is right, we're number 49 on the list of states to provide funds for mental health services.
Right.
Well, unfortunately, what that means is that those people that are not being served, which are a lot, are actually mainly going to jail and are supposed to get are going to jail instead of getting mental health
Marilyn,
services.
Marilyn, we have to take a little break. Can you? No, you're not going on too long. I'd like you to stay on the phone if you wouldn't mind.
Not at all.
Okay, please stay there. We're going to take a short break on Topical Currents, and we'll be right back and talk some more. Stay with us. And welcome back to Monday's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman with Deborah Webb, the Executive Director of the Key Clubhouse of South Florida. We also have Penelope Martinez, who's the program manager there. Alexandra Lassa is a board member and a member. And on the phone with us is Marilyn. I forgot your last name, Marilyn, but
Lieberman.
She's Lieberman, one of the founding members of the Key Clubhouse. Okay, you were saying about expansion, about getting employers to pitch in and
yes.
all. Go ahead.
As one of the community members that helped found the Key Clubhouse, I want to say to you that we need community help. We need employers out there that will call Deborah and Penny and make appointments to have us come out to your business and see if you can hire one of our members. You talk about breaking down stigma. That's what it does. When you work side by side with someone that has a mental illness, you don't look at their illness. You just look at the work they do. So we need employers to do that, and we need philanthropists, okay? We started this with a few dollars in our pocket. We're just people just like you are out there. We need help financially, and we need people that will contact us, that want to join our board of directors, that want to help us raise money so we can go beyond what we're doing now with the clubhouse, which is very important, and the jobs, but also provide housing in the future. And that's all I want to say. You all are doing a great job on the show, and I hope some people call in and want to help us out on the other end.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Marilyn.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And let's give contact information right now, Deborah.
So our phone number is area code 305-693-3508. You can also find us on the web at www.keyclubhouse.org. Our address is 1400 Northwest 54th Street, Miami, zip code 33142.
Okay, so again, the website is keyclubhouse.org. The phone number 305-693-3508. We'll have links to that on our website, wlrn.org. And let's talk to Jan in Boca Raton, who has a question about his son. Go ahead, Jan. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
I want to commend the last caller for trying to make a difference for these poor people whose only thing is that they're sick. I have a son that is mentally ill, which is why I'm calling. He got injured in a car accident when he was 18. And then our family was taken on this roller coaster ride of awful. It was just awful. We know every prison and every mental hospital. It's just unbelievable. It's almost like mental illness is a crime. I mean, the prisons, they say there's 40% of the population is mentally ill. It's just very sad what's happening here. So many lives are just ruined. And right now my son is getting wonderful help, so I'm very happy. But it took us 15 to 20 years to get to that point. And really that's all I have to say. I think this cannot be changed. I've thought a lot about it. I don't believe it can be changed until the American public stand up and say it's enough is enough.
Well,
people like you doing these kind of shows, and this is what does it.
Well, thank you for calling, Jan, and we wish you well, and we wish your son well.
Thank you so much, and you have a great day.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Do you want to comment on what Jan was just saying, Deborah?
Yes, there is. I think there is a lack of services for people with mental health problems, mental illness. We need more community-based programs that are looking at prevention and stability programs for people with mental illness, so they can learn to be more independent. And it comes back down to funding. I mean, it goes back to the state of Florida being 49th. I don't know if it's 49th or 50th, but it's definitely the bottom.
Down there.
It's definitely down there. And it is the ones who suffer are the people with the illness and their families. And the families that we have at the Key Clubhouse, they're sometimes the members come to us and the families come to us and they're desperate for support and services. And we are just looking to expand so we can serve more people. As Penny said, we have served 450 people since we opened. We now have 106 members that we're working with, and families call me every day. They're desperate for their son. They're desperate for their daughter. What are they going to do? You know, so we ask you to please use us as a resource. We will help you to the degree that we can help you. But as Marilyn Lieberman mentioned, we are looking for some support, for funding, for a new clubhouse, for larger facilities. So,
and as she said, at some point, maybe you could have housing as well.
Oh, we want housing.
Yeah.
Where our board is looking into housing. We're looking into right now finding a new facility that's larger because so many people are calling us. And we believe that people with mental illnesses can recover, can sustain, and can be stable with the right supports on a daily basis, of which the clubhouse does provide for the community.
Alexander Lassa, what would you say to Jan? She sounds like she's been through so much. It took her son 15 to 20 years to get help. Did you want to say anything to her?
It's the clubhouses are out there. There's 350. It's a movement. It shouldn't be mental health, as one of our speakers once said, Kevin Hines. He said it shouldn't be mental health. It should be just considered health.
Right.
Your mind and your body are one. What happens in the mind affects the body. And clubhouses are, there are 350, and they are making progress little by little. And we need more progress in Florida, for sure.
Would you address the ways it seems almost like it would be so beneficial, because you can address the ways that Key Clubhouse is helping the community economically and socially?
Oh,
because of the fewer incidents of crises for those who are mentally ill, ending up in the hospital for weeks at a time. Talk, if you would just address that.
In fact, thank you, Bonnie, for asking that question. Just last year, the Key Clubhouse conducted a survey of members who attended a year or more just to see the effectiveness of our program, because we want to make sure we are making a difference in the community and for the people. And here's what we found out. 78% of our members did not need services in a crisis stabilization unit. Now, that's a big number, because typically people that are coming to us that become members, they're in and out of crisis. And so our goal is to stabilize.
Right.
So 78%, that's a big number of our population. 82.5% did not have any interaction with law enforcement. Now, that's what in over a year. And as Marilyn mentioned, a lot of our folks, because right. It's misunderstood, they end up in jail.
Right.
90% of our members were hopeful about their future, which means we gave hope to them. And not 82.5 had more confidence about going back to work. So we are helping the community by keeping people out of crisis and out of the jails.
Well, we want to thank all of you for being with us, and we are really glad to hear about the very important work you're doing. Deborah Webb is Executive Director of the Key Clubhouse of South Florida. Penelope Martinez, thank you so much, the Program Manager. And Alexander Lassa is a member and a board member. Alexander, thank you so much, and we wish you the best.
Thank you, Bonnie.
All of you.
Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you, WLRN.
And that is our program for today. We apologize to any caller or emailer we didn't get to, we thank you for joining us. Topical Currents lead producer is Richard Ives, with technical direction from Jason Zapka, our online producer. Polly Landis is associate producer, and thanks today to Michael Stock for some help. It's easy to download free audio archives of each program at our website, WLRN.org. Follow the Topical Currents links. And we also have the iTunes podcast plus the Topical Currents Facebook page. Tomorrow's program, Sarah Elliston, someone who went through most of her adult life as a difficult person. She's reformed now and written the book Lessons from a Difficult Person, How to Deal with People Like Us. That's tomorrow at 1. We hope you'll join us. Bonnie Berman for Joseph Cooper. Stay tuned for Here and Now, up next from NPR News.